Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father God, thank you for this day. This is the day you made. You gave life to us. We celebrate you because you are our life. In you we live and move and have our being. Yes, Lord, all souls belong to you. And you rule over the nations. You are sovereign, Lord, over all the earth. And God, we come to you today as needy people today, Lord, realizing that our hope is in you. Our strength is in you. Our wisdom comes from you. Our holiness is because of you. Our righteousness is because of you in us. Thank you, Lord, for making your dwelling place in us, Lord. Thank you for allowing us access to your throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, for the price that you paid for us, the sacrifice that you paid. That you paid with blood, you paid in full for our redemption. Lord, unworthy as we are, in mercy, God gave us his Son as an offering to pay our debt. So we are indebted to you. You've given us your Spirit, Lord, to dwell within us. And we have an offering to give you in thankfulness. Take our bodies and minds as we willingly bind them with love to the altar of holiness. God, I pray, purify your bride, your people, make us ready for you, God. Deliver us from idols, deliver us from evil, from everything, God, and anything that would hinder, Lord, the work of your Spirit in our hearts, in our lives, and through us in this generation. We pray, God, that you will strengthen each one of us with might in the inner man by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. We all say amen.
Amen.
Thank you for coming today. And by the way, we appreciate your giving. As you give, remember you're giving to the Lord, right? Not to men and not to organizations, but give. And we appreciate your faithfulness in giving. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Jesus. We know that our God shall what? Supply. He's the one that supplies. How many know that God is the one that takes care of us? Amen?
Amen.
Not the government. The Lord may use the government, but it's not the government. That's not the source. I know right now there's an exaltation of government as if government somehow is God. And government is going to save us. As long as you give us your freedoms, we'll keep you safe. But how many know that the Lord is our strong tower and our deliverer, our refuge from the storm? Hallelujah. In God we trust. Amen. And as for me and my house, yes, we will. Thank you, Lord. Never regretted that decision to commit my life to Jesus for his service. Hallelujah. I don't know, but when you're young, you think you got forever. And even when you're young, you look back and say, man, just the other day I was 3 years old. I'm 5 now. Where has the time gone? I don't know if there's any 5-year-olds in here this morning. But we're all, yeah, maybe mentally, but you know. But we are, you know, we are kids in the court of our King. I want to be like Jesus when I grow up. I want to become more like him. And, you know, Jesus said, unless you become as children, you'll never enter the kingdom. You know, you need to come with a childlike attitude towards the Lord. You know, the Pharisees, they thought they had arrived. They thought they had it all together. They knew all this scripture and they knew all the rules and the regulations, even the little minute little details of straining out a gnat. They used to put a screen over their drink so that a gnat, which would be an unclean animal or whatever, wouldn't get into their drink and it would be defiled. And yet Jesus said, you look outwardly clean, you know, like a whitewashed tomb, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. In other words, you're religious, but you don't know life. And I'm life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this is what people are missing. Amen. Is sometimes they're being presented with an organization as the means of saving rather than the God. Amen. who loves us and gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, as the way to the Father, the only way to life. Well, there is a lot of buzz going on right now about this coming November and the months leading up to it as well. And there are many prophetic voices out there right now. And if you're not careful, you'll get completely confused listening to all the voices and all the perspectives and all the dreams and the visions. Now, does God give dreams and visions? Yes. But somebody's not telling the truth out there, guys. And somebody is. And so we need to be able to tell the difference, discern what is of God and what is not. There's a talk about a coming collapse of America. How many of you heard that? Many people are wondering what to believe and what to do. Well, what do I do? One thing you don't do is you don't get into fear. All right? Because there is a lot of fear and uncertainty about the future. And I know that if I get into panic mode, I start making mistakes. I start making what we call a knee-jerk reaction to things, right? You just start doing things reactively rather than responsively, right? We start reacting to situations and panicking. And, oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to die. What's the worst thing that could happen to us, right? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It doesn't mean that we're to be foolish or reckless. It does mean that we are to stay close to the one who alone can save and protect his people. I believe that God has given us promises in his word that are yea and amen, but we have to get a hold of the promises and we have to rest in his faithfulness to what he promised us, that he will do what he said he would do. God instructs us concerning things to come. Did you know that? God does give us a glimpse as to what is ahead. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would tell us things to come in John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And what? He will tell you things to come. So does God speak to us today by his Spirit? How many know that there are decisions that we need to make in our lives that you're not going to find in Scripture? But the Scriptures to help us understand the heart, the nature of who God is, to come to know him. So the written word is to point us to the living word so that we may recognize his voice. So we can be led by the Spirit, that he will guide us in the truth, in the way that we should go. So sometimes God does warn us through dreams and visions. Remember, Noah was clearly, he clearly heard from God. And what did he do? He prepared the ark. He moved with godly fear to the preparing of the ark to the saving of his family. And that's Genesis 6 and Hebrews 11:7. Joseph, he clearly heard from God concerning the 7 years of famine in Egypt and prepared for that in advance. Why? Because God told him what to do. Now, why did God speak to Joseph? Because God cares about people. He cares about his people. Amen? And he will warn us about things to come so we can prepare ourselves for that which is to come. Now, I know some are thinking, well, the best way I can prepare is to go out and buy a bunch of canned foods and a bunch of this and a bunch of that and run to the nearest cave. You'll probably find it occupied if you did, but maybe move to the mountains. And well, if God tells you to do that, go ahead and do that. Not everybody can do that, right? But when we get into panic mode, we start doing things sometimes irrationally without really thinking it through. How many know that our nation needs God? Amen. The election is not going to solve the problems that we have. It may help, Amen. But the problem that we're having in America is a heart condition. It's not racism. It's not anything else. It's a heart condition that we have turned to other gods, other idols. And some have made government their god, their idol. We used to be, at least at our founding, one nation, what? Under God. And when we're under God, then we can be indivisible. And we can have liberty and justice. Are we not missing justice today? Because man in his own wisdom is really foolish. The foolishness of God even is wiser than man's wisdom. And what we may think is foolish is really total wisdom, true wisdom. See, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher. God's much smarter than we are. I think the creator, amen, of the product knows the product better than the product thinks it knows itself. And so we need to trust in the Lord that he's going to give us guidance as we rely upon him and seek him. So what is God saying to us? What do you think God is saying? How should we be prepared for the future? Number one, God does not want us panicking, right? Okay. We're not to operate out of panic or fear, but the just shall live by faith. Faith is confident assurance in God who is trustworthy. Amen? We can trust his word. God is not like a man that he should lie. Man will promise you things, but not necessarily follow through with it. I'll pay you on payday. I swear. And once people start swearing about something, watch out. Because if you're a person of integrity, you don't have to swear. And Jesus said, don't swear at all. You should be such a person of integrity that your word is good. We don't even have to shake on it. All you got to do is tell me. You'll do something and I know who you are. I know your character. I know you're trustworthy. So it's good. So what did Jesus say? Here's another simple, amen, illustration of where Jesus talked about, you know, the flowers of the field and the birds of the air and how God takes care of them. And he's telling us not to worry. Stop the worrying, guys. Amen. I've got to tell myself that some days because the enemy wants to get in my head, too. Matthew 6:25, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Has anybody thought that recently? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. So what did he say? Here it is. Matthew 6:33. We know it so well. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, or seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? In the New Living Translation, it says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, live in according to the word, live in agreement with the will of God, and he will give you everything you need. That is a promise from our Lord Jesus Christ. You put God first in everything. You trust him. You listen to his voice. You do what he says. He's going to take care of you. Amen. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. How many know that the news media is trying to get you to worry about tomorrow? The message that you're getting is completely godless, faithless, hopeless. And if you make a diet of that stuff, that's how you're going to start thinking about everything. I think God is bigger than, amen, the media. He's bigger than the government. Yes, all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket to the Lord. Yes, He rules over the nations. God wants us to trust Him in these days and draw near to Him. In Psalms 36 and 9, it says, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light." In your light, we see light. In your light, we see light. God is light, John said, and in Him is what? No darkness at all. His word is a lamp unto our feet, right? He's the light unto our path. So in Him, in Christ, we see. Outside of Him is darkness. If we say that we walk in the light, and yet we walk in darkness, then we're lying. We walk in the light when we walk in agreement with the Spirit of the Lord, amen, and His Word, amen, is always in agreement with the Spirit of the Lord. So when we walk in agreement with the Lord, we see, because He is the light, amen? He's the light of the world. And when you and I are united together with Him, when we're joined together with Him, when we're in intimate relationship with Him, when we're close to the Lord, then we see the way He sees. The reason why many are worried and panicking is because they have no clue what's up ahead, what God's going to do. How many know that God will let you know what you need to know when you need to know it? Thank you. I bear witness right there. And if God doesn't speak to you and you've done everything you know, you're seeking Him, you're making yourself available, amen, for Him to speak to you. And if you're not getting any revelation, rest. Just give up the fight. Stop your worrying. God says, "I've got it." Amen. Rest in me. Be still. And know that I am God. Hallelujah. He will be exalted in the nations. The reason why many people are deceived is because they refuse to come into the light. Now, the deeper we go into God, the clearer things become, right? So, if a person is walking, once again, if they're walking in darkness, they can't expect to see clearly. Do you want to know what's going on? Do you want friendship with God? Do what He says. Start obeying Him. Submit yourself to God. And then you can resist the devil even. And he'll flee from you. The reason why a lot of people are bound by the devil is because they refuse to submit to God. And sometimes people think, in my own willpower, my own strength, my own ability, I can live a good life. I can be good. How many know that there is none good apart from Jesus Christ, who is our goodness? Amen. God becomes for us goodness. So my goodness is not good enough. My righteousness is not righteous enough. He has become righteousness for us. We are righteous in Him who is righteous. And in His light, we can see clearly, right? We can see light. In John 3:20, Jesus said, "All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed." I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life that was me. Even before I came to the Lord, I stayed away from certain people because if they were walking in the light, I was just afraid, man, the light was going to expose something. They're going to see something. How many know what I'm talking about? Ever been uncomfortable around somebody when you're in darkness? And the preacher shows up, or somebody you know is really a true follower of Jesus, amen? And you got around that person, you're just really uncomfortable. It's like, man, I'm going to cut this thing short and get away from this person. Lest I be don't look him in the eye. They might see into my dark soul. Yeah. When you're in darkness, you don't want the light. But when you realize that the only hope that you have is in Jesus, who is the light, and you're willing to say, you know what, I can't save myself. There's no other way for me to be saved except through Jesus Christ, the Lord, who is the way, the truth, and the life. I have to come to him, and I have to come to him on his terms, not my own. Well, in my opinion, forget your opinion. What does God's word say? Well, to me, God is like this. It doesn't matter what you think God is. God is true. God is who he is. He doesn't change. He doesn't transform into a God of your own liking. He is who he is. He's forever, amen, the eternal God. And he's holy. In him is no darkness at all. And so if we are going to be able to discern and know the times and know what God is doing and know what we're supposed to be doing, how we can be prepared, we're going to have to go deep into God, who is our light. Amen. And that means I'm going to have to forsake my ways, my sin, my shame, my darkness. I got to be done with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I need to completely go into God. Are you hearing me, somebody? See, a lot of people think, well, I'll just add Jesus to my life. I'll just add God. I'll give God a little part of me. You know, no, that doesn't work. How many know it has to be an exchange? This is not a self-help class. Amen? Where you just improve upon the old thing. Put a little paint on the thing, you know. It's still rotten underneath, but you put a little paint on it, and it makes it look pretty on the outside. Kind of like the Pharisees. You can't patch up the old thing. You got to be transformed. Guys, you can't just add God to your life. God has to become your life. You have to do an exchange. You have to give him your whole being. When you do that, you enter into life. God can save what you give him. If you give him your soul, you give him your life. God can save you. But if you try to save your life, you will lose your soul. But you have to surrender to Jesus. And when you come into God, hallelujah, on his terms, the light comes on. You begin to see things now that you couldn't see. I couldn't believe all that dirt was on the floor until the light came on. I didn't know those cockroaches were hanging out in the cookie jar until the light came on. Are you hearing me, somebody? The devil's a liar. He's a thief. He likes to stay in dark places. He wants us to be sympathetic towards sin. You know, the things that we do in secret, nobody'll see it. Nobody will know. God knows it all. Man, he's the light. Everything is exposed and open to the one to whom, yes, we will give an account someday. So I decided that I would rather be right with God, amen, than not. The fear of the Lord got a hold of me, and I was shaken to the core, and I realized that I'm on my way to hell. I'm a lost sinner. I have no hope. I can't save myself. I tried doing that. I tried doing the right thing. I tried being good, but in my own being, I didn't have what I needed to do that. I don't have the ability to live right. Come on, somebody. I need Jesus. I need him in my life. I need him to be my life. I need to give him this old corrupt thing that I might receive the new life. Be born again. God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance is me going this direction and realizing I'm going in the wrong direction. I turn around, I do 180 degrees, and I come to Jesus. Hallelujah. And when you come to Jesus, it means you're coming on his terms. You don't make special arrangements, amen? Well, God winks at my sin. He may judge Joe over here, but me and God have a little different arrangement. You see, the Pharisees tried to justify themselves, the religious leaders of Jesus' day. And he says, that's an abomination to God. You who justify yourself. Because only God can justify you. Only God can make us right. Only God can make us holy. Only God can save. There's no other way around it. You're not going to be able to climb up any other way. You must come through Jesus Christ to the Father. And He is that only way to the Father. Are you hearing me, somebody? And He paid the price for you. He loved you that much. He laid down His life for you. He shed His blood for you. He paid the price that you and I deserve to pay so that we could go free. And He's inviting us to come to Him so that we might be saved, so that we could be cleansed. We can receive forgiveness, cancellation of the debt that we owe that we could never pay. But God in His mercy gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ha. What does it mean to believe? Oh yeah, I believe that. If you believe, you'll repent. If you believe, then you'll change your mind. If you trust His word, you believe God, then you'll obey God. You can't say you trust a person and not believe their word. We need to know His voice through repentance and through prayer and the word of God. It's there that you're going to find rest for your soul. So guys, the safest place to be is in the habitation of God. In the secret place of the Most High. To abide in Him is to abide in a place of security, and to abide in a place where you have light so that you can understand God's instruction for you as to how you should prepare yourself for the days to come. I know people are hoping somebody else, some other prophet, will tell them what to do. Tell me what God is saying. Tell me what to do. Come on, somebody. God wants you and I to have a relationship with Him, to where we go deep into Him, to where we are seeking His face. And that means that the breath of God, amen, you're face to face with God, and God begins to speak to you as He would a friend, and God begins to show you things to come, and God tells you what you need to do to prepare yourself. There's not a blanket statement for everybody. Everybody's looking for the blanket statement. Oh, we all got to do this. No, you need to listen to God's voice and do what He tells you to do, and God doesn't want you relying on everybody around you to get that revelation. He wants you to come to Him. Because He wants to speak to you. Did you know that? Well, God never speaks to me. There's the problem. Your unbelief. God's not going to speak to you with that attitude. If you're willing to go His way on His terms, if you're willing to enter into friendship with God, not when you're grieving Him, not when you're upsetting Him. Are you hearing me? Because of your attitudes and your actions. But when we get into peace, get into harmony with God, we start to walk with God, and we start to do the things that please Him, the things that He tells us to do. When we get into that place with Him, then God begins to share with you as He would a friend. And you begin to know His voice, and you'll be guided by the Spirit of the Lord, and God will show you what to do as to how to be prepared for the days that are coming. If we don't learn to recognize God's voice, then we can easily be deceived by false teachers and prophets. If you don't have a good relationship with the Lord, if you're not in right standing with the Lord, if you're not able to hear His voice, then you are vulnerable to being deceived by all the false teachers and prophets that are running about, everybody telling somebody else that God has a word for you. How about getting a word for yourself? And when a true prophet speaks into your life, you'll know that's a word from God. Why? Because it's only confirming what God has already spoken to you about. But if you don't have a relationship, if you don't go deep into God, come on, somebody. If we don't go deep into God, if we just want to splash around in the kiddie pool and have a shallow relationship, that's all you're going to get. And then you're going to go around and saying, somebody else who's an adult, help me out here. God wants us to grow up. God wants us to mature, amen, and take on responsibility, start to do what we're supposed to do by disciplining this body, telling this body what to do and not the opposite. If we don't learn to recognize God's voice, then we'll be deceived. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. We need to be careful to seek the Lord about everything that we hear. Don't panic. Don't get into panic mode. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. When we get panicky, when we get into fear, we start making mistakes. Isaiah 26:3, one of my favorite scriptures. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. God wants us to discipline our minds so that we can stay focused on the Lord throughout our day. As we do that, we experience His peace. You don't have to wait to Sunday to have peace. Amen. God wants you to have a relationship with Him to where you have daily peace in the Lord, and His peace is what's ruling and reigning in you. Amen. The world will offer you artificial peace. Smoke this, drop this, you know, drink this, do this. But it doesn't last. And it doesn't satisfy. Only the Lord truly satisfies. Well, how can I recognize the voice of God? Well, Romans 8:14, how many know this one very well? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Not those who just show up at church once in a while, whisper a prayer in the morning maybe, but people who have a relationship with the Lord, who walk with the Lord. As many as are led by the Spirit of the Lord, these are the sons. When the Spirit of the Lord comes to dwell within you, amen, you have a new heart. You have new desires. You can no longer be comfortable in the old way, in the old life. Now you have a desire, isn't that right, to please the Lord, to do what's right. And when you step out of line, and when you step out from under His protection because you decide to go for a little stroll, God in His mercy, sometimes He has a long crook, you know, those shepherd's crook. And He'll get that thing around your neck and He'll try to pull you right back where you belong. Amen. And because He loves you, He'll discipline you. You know, in Psalms 23 says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, right? Well, sometimes the rod was not only something that they would work on the fleece, you know, to get if you ever see the monkeys picking at each other while they're moving the fur out of the way, right? Well, that rod sometimes would be used by the shepherd to kind of move the fur and all to expose any fleas or bugs, and the shepherd would pick them off, you know. So that would comfort the sheep, okay? But also that rod could also be an instrument of discipline, okay, if the sheep is getting out of line. So the real question is, first of all, are you His sheep? Do you hear His voice? And are you being led of His Spirit? It's very important that you and I commit ourselves to the Lord. Amen. Not just do some religious thing on the weekend, but amen. But to a life that is dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ and lived out according to His purpose. When you and I come to Jesus Christ and we are born again, we are no longer our own property. We now belong to the Lord. Did you know that? Amen. And how many know that obedience is not an option? It's not an option. People think, oh, it's optional. I'll just decide whether I want to obey that or not. Well, if you want friendship with God, if you want to be in the light, if you want to hear God, you want to know what God is doing and what God is saying, if you want to be prepared for the future, you better get right with God. Amen. You better start listening to His voice because it could be your life. When the Jews are being warned in Warsaw, in Poland, to get out because the Nazis were coming, they had prophets that were sent to them. But many of them were so entrenched into their businesses and their money that they didn't want to give it up. And the ones that decided to stay with their craft, were the ones that ended up in the concentration camps, into the ovens. But those who were wise were the ones who knew the voice of God. They discerned it. They were people that feared God, and they moved with godly fear. They got out of that place, and they were saved. Do you hear what I'm saying? It is vital that you and I can discern the voice of God, that we can hear the voice of God. And you're not going to hear the voice of God if you want to just dabble with this thing or muck around in the mud. Amen? You got to get out of the filth, out of the dirt, out of the mud, out of sin, out of selfishness, and get into God. Go for God, amen, with a passion. Seek Him with all your heart, and He will be found of you. He will reveal Himself to you as you show that you will be faithful to obey His voice. He will begin to reveal more to you. And that means doing things that make us uncomfortable at times. We'll find out how strong our flesh is when God tells you to do something that is going to make you uncomfortable. Come on. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, you're not afraid of man. You know what's lacking in the church, guys? In the church in America? Is the power of God. I heard some brother talk about it this way. He said, the church in America has become big screens, skinny jeans, and fog machines. You know, it's all about the fluff and the entertainment value of going and being entertained by your favorite worship team. And listen to a message that pleases you and makes you feel good and tells you everything's going to be all right. Well, maybe it's not going to be all right. Maybe God is warning us about something that is coming. Amen. And that we need to prepare. And the best way to prepare is for you and I to go deeper into God, to cultivate that relationship to where I know His voice. And when God speaks to me, I will listen, I will respond, and I could spare myself and my family even from that which is coming. God will protect those who stay close to Him. God will protect those who obey Him. God will reveal Himself to those who obey Him. Yeah. James gives us some clear principles for determining what is and what isn't the voice of God. Did you know that? How do you know God's speaking to you? Well, you got to know God's nature, God's character. How do you know if your wife is speaking to you from another room? Maybe there's several ladies in the other room. Amen. And how many know sometimes when you're coming in the door, I can be in here and I can hear people talking out there. I know who you are. Right? Because I know your voice. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. I just say, oh, so-and-so's here. I can hear their voice. I recognize their voice. God wants us to be so acquainted with Him that in the midst of all the other voices, are you hearing me, somebody? His voice stands out. When you play guitar, Bruce plays lead guitar. He has a pedal that he kicks on. Amen? It's a boost pedal when he does a lead so that he will cut through the rest of the mix. All right. And the leads will be pronounced. That's kind of how it is. God's voice will break through the mix and the rest of the noise. Not that we're noisy, but there's a lot of noise and a lot of voices and a lot of prophets and a lot of people talking right now. Everybody's having dreams and visions. God said there would be dreams and visions, and some of them are from God, but some of them are not. How do I know the difference? Well, I've got to know God's voice myself. So when I hear a word, I'll know. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to encourage all of us. Let's not play church, amen? I'm not saying that you are. But let's draw near. Let's really draw near to God. Let's get serious. You need to get serious about the Lord. The days are evil. The night is coming when no man shall work. We see it happening, amen? And God is giving you and I an opportunity right now to draw near to Him and receive from Him what we have need of for the days to come. God packs your lunch in advance. You don't go on a journey and decide, oh, you know what, I forgot my lunch. You got to be prepared. You got to be prepared for what's up ahead. Hallelujah. And you're not going to be prepared if you're spending all your time in vanity. Countless hours of just playing games and keeping yourself distracted by things that have nothing to do with eternity. The enemy is a thief. And what he wants people to do is to fall asleep. He wants God's people to fall asleep. So he offers you alternatives to time with him. How many know that when you get ready to pray, the enemy is going to try to come against that? What do you got to do? You got to put your foot down and say, no. No, this is the time that I've set aside for the Lord. Amen. I'm not talking about just, you know, that prayer time that we should have with the Lord every day, but I'm talking about a lifestyle, if you will, of prayer, walking with the Lord. And you'll know his voice through that relationship. And when you know God's voice, you'll know when he's speaking to you. And when somebody speaks to you, you'll say, yeah, that's a word from the Lord. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you guys, I'm looking at some of the stuff, some of the prophets and people that are prophesying over the YouTube and just trying to get an idea of what's going on out there, what people are saying. And you got people that are in agreement with stuff. I'm thinking that's not what God is saying. And other things that people, where God is saying something and people are disagreeing with it. Why is that? Because if they don't have a personal relationship and they don't know the voice of the Lord, then they will be deceived by these prophets that will prophesy smooth things, make them feel good. Amen. Because sometimes God has to make us feel miserable before we can feel good. Sometimes we have to be disciplined before we can be in right standing to where we can enjoy the benefits of being in right standing with our God. God wants to bless his people. Did you know that? He wants to bless your life. He wants to prosper your life. Amen. But he's not going to bless the mess. He wants us to get it right. He wants us to quit playing, dabbling with Christianity. It's not something, it's some event that we go to and attend. Are you hearing me? It's the life. And as you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. And as you draw near to God, you'll find out that God is delightful, that God is awesome, that God is a life-giving spirit. He is righteousness and peace and joy. Are you hearing me, somebody? Amen. And he'll guard your heart and your mind. He'll give you a confident assurance. He'll give you a boldness by the power of his Holy Spirit that you won't be afraid of people anymore, because the biggest problem people have right now in this time, even in the church, is that we're controlled by fear because the media has been pushing it to shut down and silence God's people. God, give us power. Empower us by your Spirit. Baptize us with your Holy Spirit in fire. God, let the fire of heaven come and consume the altar, hallelujah, and the sacrifice. And your people that are committing themselves, Lord, to burn for you. God, give us oil in our lamps, hallelujah. Keep us burning, amen. Keep us alive, keep us awake, keep us alert, amen. Turn the light on in me, Jesus. I don't want any darkness in me. I don't want to be stumbling around, grasping, amen, in the dark and wondering what's going on. Where am I going? What am I going to do? I want to know the voice of my shepherd so that he's telling me, this is where you're going, this is what you're going to do. And if he doesn't show me something, it's okay, because I know that the Lord is with me no matter what. And even when we walk through the waters, he said, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. The safest place is in his presence. The safest place is in the secret place. Psalms 91:1, right? Yeah. Of the Most High God. Hallelujah. We'll abide beneath the shadow of his wing. And the Lord will put his covering over you. His wings he'll spread over you. Amen. Hallelujah. And keep you safe. And your heart will be at peace. Your mind will be at peace in the Lord. Hallelujah. And then you can think rationally. And the Lord will begin to instruct you in that place of intimacy with him. And he'll give you practical instruction as to prepare yourself even in the natural for the days that are coming. Are you hearing me, somebody? Yes. Noah moved with godly fear to the building of the ark, to the saving of his family. He knew the voice of God. God spoke to him. And because he believed, he responded. He didn't react. It took 120 years, didn't it? But he responded to the voice of the Lord. And because he was faithful, God spared him. Because he was listening, he spared not only his own life, but his family. Do you hear what I'm saying today? The safest place is to bury yourself in Him who is your peace. That's why it's called a peace that passes what? Philippians, all understanding. God's peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world. But my peace is a supernatural peace. It's beyond your own understanding, but it's real. Hallelujah. But James said this, the wisdom that is from above. Here it is. How do you discern if it's God's voice or not? The wisdom that is from above is what first? Pure. Everything God does is pure. Untainted. Okay, not mixed. It's not when you hear somebody prophesying or speaking into your life. I've heard people say things that were quite profound, but I felt defiled afterwards. Like they just vomited on me. Have you ever had that happen? If you're in the light, if you walk in the light, and somebody comes and they have a word supposedly from God, but it's not from the Lord, it's from the dark one, you'll feel defiled. You'll feel defiled by it. You'll know that that's not God speaking. Even though what they may be saying may be scripturally correct, but in the spirit, something is wrong. Do you understand? The devil knows how to quote scripture. He knows the Bible quite well. And that's how he fools people, just because they quote scripture. We'd have to discern the spirit behind the word even. So it's pure, unmixed, holy. Is it in line with God's holy character? Is it in line with his nature? Is it something God would do and say? Okay, how about, is the word peaceable? Even if it's a warning of judgment, when God speaks, he speaks peace. Are you hearing me? He came to his distraught disciples after his resurrection and he said, peace. Amen. He spoke peace to them. And he calmed the storm that was going on inside them. You see, when the Lord speaks, even if it's a warning, it will be laced with his peace. Hallelujah. You know, we're not supposed to be afraid. You know how many times the Lord said that, right? 365 times in the Bible, fear not. One for every day of the year, right? Fear not. Don't be afraid. When the angel of the Lord would appear, when the Lord would speak, he said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Peace I give to you, the Lord said. My peace, not the world's form, but mine. Is the word gentle? Here's another one. Is it submissive? Is it in agreement with the scriptures? Is it in agreement with the word of God? Is it submitted to the word of God, to the will of God? Jesus submitted himself to the Father's will, didn't he? He didn't speak on his own authority. And neither should we. The Holy Spirit, as we just read before, he does not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he speaks. The same thing is true for his servants. What we hear, we speak. But we're not speaking on our own authority. In other words, we're not here to represent ourselves to you. Amen? I'm not here to represent me to you. I want to represent Christ to you. I want to just be a vessel. And so God wants the same for all of us, doesn't he? To be a vessel that's submitted, submissive to the will of him. And that means I don't have to force you to believe anything. I can't make you believe it anyways. I used to try to do that. Make people believe. But when you're humbled and you're submissive to the Spirit of the Lord, amen, you realize that, hey, you're just throwing your pearls among what? Swine. Quit throwing them out. They're not receiving it, all right? If a heart is prepared by God, they'll be receptive. A true prophet always represents the one who sent him. Here it is, another one. How do I know the voice of God? It will be also full of mercy. Compassionate or kindly forbearance is what that means. Towards an offender, an enemy, or a person in one's power. Mercy is also the disposition to be compassionate or forbearing with another person. How many know that God is very merciful and God is very patient with us, by the way? How about this? Is the word self-righteous or condemning? We need to refrain from making judgments based on our own opinions or standards and not the word of God. A lot of times people think that they're doing the will of God and speaking on behalf of God when they're only speaking from their own opinion or their own interpretation of a scripture. When we're submitted to the Lord, we have the fear of the Lord. We're very cautious to listen carefully, to study, to answer. and rely upon the Holy Spirit to give us what we need to say. Amen? So that I'm not just getting a bunch of information and become proud and puffed up in my head because I've got all this knowledge. And I can really impress some people with how well I can quote Scripture. In fact, I'll do a Bible debate with you just to prove how great I am and all my wisdom and all my knowledge. It ain't you. People don't need you and I. They need Jesus. He just needs a vessel that he can work through and speak through and touch through. Amen. So is that word that you're receiving, is it full of mercy? Is it full of grace? Is it according to God's character? Is it something that he would do? Is it according to his nature? Because if it's self-righteous, or if we start to compare ourselves to others, you know that I'm talking about. Sometimes Christians will start beating each other with the word to prove a point. Pride. You don't have to beat anybody with the word. You can't make anybody believe anything. If they're receptive and open, it's because God has prepared their heart, and God will give you a word for that people. You know, some people you meet, you can speak to them, man, and the Spirit of God is just flowing right out of you. You know what I'm talking about? It's just like, it's just a download after a download. Why? Because that heart has been prepared. It's open and receptive to be taught. Amen. But then you run into other people. It's like speaking to a stump. Don't waste your time. If a person's not open, they're not receptive, move along. Pray and the Lord will direct you to somebody who is. All right. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For what? For what reason? Why did God speak to us? It's always to build up, not to tear down. How about this? Is the word bearing good fruit? The wisdom from above. Is there good fruit in that word? What's going to be the outcome of it? What's the result of that word? Sometimes people will speak a word and it's just judgment and condemnation, but there's no hope. There's no redemption in it. Are you hearing me, somebody? And then people just say, well, what's the point? It's all going to hell in a handbasket. Why live? Why do anything? Because everything is coming to an end. I remember back in the 60s, some of you remember back then. I was a little guy back then, but I remember, man, being so scared about, you know, the world's coming to an end even back then, and we better just pack your bags and don't get a job. Forget that. Jesus is coming any moment now. Are you hearing me? Live your life. Plant. Build. Occupy. Be about your Father's business. Bear fruit. Amen? While you have opportunity. Join yourself to Jesus. Hallelujah. Put your treasure in heaven. Amen. The day will come when you'll see him. He'll smile and say, there you are, my son, my daughter. I know who you are. Well done. You've been faithful. Hallelujah. How about this? Is the word without hypocrisy? Is it sincere? Is it consistent with what God would say and do? Here's a couple questions, guys, once again, that we need to ask if we hear a prophetic word. Does the word advance the kingdom and the common good? Does it produce good fruit or God's righteousness? Hallelujah. Sometimes I hear a word, amen, and God will prick my heart. God will convict me about something. And how many of you, we should be appreciative of that. We should be thankful that somebody's willing to speak truth to us. Because we all have blind spots and we need that sometimes, don't we? I know some of you don't have any blind spots, but I do. But the more that we press into God, the closer we get to God, the more light we have to where there's no darkness. Amen? And you can see clearly. You see the way he sees it. You begin to recognize this is God. That is not God. Even if it's a good word. It could be a positive word, but sometimes that positive word can come from the adversary. How am I going to know the difference? I need to walk in the light as he is in the light. I need to be in fellowship, amen, with my brothers and sisters. I need to be receiving the benefit of the ministry of the Holy Spirit through the body of Christ and its multiplicity, amen, and the different expressions of God's heart through his people. That's why we should be gathering. And that's why the enemy doesn't want people gathering together. He's trying to shut that down. Get everybody just to run off into their own little living room. Sometimes that's a good place to meet. Amen? But he's opposed to the body of Christ getting together corporately. It's very clear. Well, Jesus at the center of it all. It's about Christ, amen? Is you and I exalting him, pointing people to Jesus, amen, not to ourselves. We represent him. The Holy Spirit always points to Jesus, doesn't he? And he tells us things to come. Draw near to God, guys. Please listen to what I'm saying. It's vitally important that we press into God. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you young people, you've been to youth camps where all of a sudden, hey, we're all going to press into God. Why don't you do that on your own? Why don't you start practicing that daily? How about doing that in your local church? You don't have to wait, amen, to some youth camp to press into God. Praise God for those youth camps, amen. But that's not going to cut it. That's not going to carry you. You need to be close to God. You need the power of God in your life daily in order for you to overcome all the temptations and all the attacks of the enemy that are coming against the church today. We need the power of God. We need a fresh baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire, amen, so that we can see clearly and we'll be fearless, amen. We'll be able to be bold witnesses for Jesus Christ, where we can open our mouth and express our praise in the congregation of saints. Hallelujah. And we're not self-conscious. We're conscious about him. Hallelujah. Because it's about him. He's the center of it all. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, just give him some praise right now. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, draw us all close to you. Stir up the gift of God in every heart. Lord, fan it into flame. Awake us, Lord, to righteousness. Deliver us from the evil one. Hallelujah. Make us strong for you. Make us bold in you. God, fill us with holy power. Dunamis from on high. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.